Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio, 103.1 FM, 910, 980 AM, or anywhere on that Odyssey app. It is coming up on 5:11, 68 degrees on this Friday, June 27th, 2025. And like every Friday, it's time for Do I Have a Case with attorney Keith Figured of the Figured Law Group. Keith, thanks for joining the Rob O'Donnell Show today.
How you doing, Rob? Hello, listeners. Glad to be here, as always.
Yeah, a little cooler on this Friday than it has been the past couple of week or so. So we'll jump right into today. And again, it's these short questions that scare me when I see them. So I bought a house and believe the seller withheld major defects like prior water damage. Do I have any recourse?
So in Pennsylvania, if you believe the seller withheld information about major defects like prior water damage in a newly purchased home, you may have legal recourse. Now, the specifics in terms of whether the recourse I'm going to be focusing on, of course, are for Pennsylvania law and general real estate principles. But specifically, under Pennsylvania, there's the Pennsylvania Real Estate Seller Disclosure Law. And under the disclosure law, sellers are required to disclose any known material defects in the property to prospective buyers before the purchase agreement is signed. So a material defect is defined as anything that significantly impacts the property's value, safety, habitability, which would include things such as prior water damage, flooding, and mold issues. Now, the seller also is required, which I'm sure people have gone through this process, to complete a seller's property disclosure statement, which covers structural issues, plumbing, roofing, and any history of water damage or repairs. So sellers are not required to investigate or discover unknown defects, but they are required to disclose what they know. So if the seller lacks expertise in construction, failure to identify a defect might be considered an honest oversight. So in that instance, you would want to, or the individual would want to look for evidence of concealment, which can undermine that defense. So now, in order to pursue legal recourse, the individual must establish, one, that the water damage or defect existed prior or before the sale. The seller knew about the defect and failed to disclose it or intentionally misrepresented the condition. You as the buyer relied on the seller's disclosure or lack thereof in deciding to purchase. And then, of course, the damage, which is incurred monetary damage, which would either be repair costs or property value loss. Now, the evidence to support that would be photos or physical signs of concealed damage, contractor testimony confirming that the damage predates your purchase, possibly neighbor statements about prior water issues or repairs known to the seller or the seller. And then, of course, a good place to always look is prior insurance claims or repairs recorded the seller didn't disclose. Now, one thing to remember that's extremely important in these types of cases is that usually there's an obligation to mitigate your damages, which means if you purchase a home and you move into it and there's a leak, you can't just let that leak go on and destroy the rest of the house. Not only can that preclude recovery of your damages by failing to mitigate that damage, it can also preclude your insurance from covering it, because a lot of times under your insurance, it requires you to mitigate that damage as well. Now, as far as the recourse, obviously the first thing you would want to do is try to contact the seller and put together something organized, indicating or outlining the defects, evidence of non-disclosure, and the repair costs, to see if you can resolve it amicably. And if not, then you would have a number of legal actions. There's a number of statutes, so as with all of these, you always want to speak with a real estate attorney so that you act timely, and so you know what your options are and what the potential costs are going to be to pursue it. But you can potentially have claims for breach of contract, fraudulent or intentional misrepresentation. I'm not 100% sure, but there may be claims under the Unfair Trade Practices and Consumer Protection Law, another one would be the negligent representation. And then, like I said, you can file a number of places, whether it be small claims court or state court, and then other parties to keep in mind as it pertains to this claim is the seller's real estate agent. Agents may be liable if they knew about the defect or failed to disclose issues they observed. The home inspector, if you had a home inspector who missed obvious signs of the water damage. And then again, you also want to check your own insurance to make sure that if you do have coverage, that it's covered. Because a lot of times you may be able to get it covered under your insurance, and then they may themselves hire their own attorney to go after the party responsible to get their own money back. So yes, there is recourse, but the bottom line is if this happens, you want to speak with an attorney, and then they can help organize and, I think, get you on the right track.
All right. Great answer there in depth. Next question here. I was rear-ended in a parking lot, and the driver does not have insurance. Do I have a case? Can I hold anyone else like the lot owner responsible?
Well, the short answer is yes, that they do likely have a case against the uninsured driver, as they are almost certainly at fault for the rear-ending of this individual. The only way they would be able to, I would think, exclude damages if they could some way show that the person stopped purposely or for no reason and they were the cause of the collision. That being said, assuming the person that hit them was liable, even though they don't have insurance themselves, under Pennsylvania law, first off, not having insurance is a criminal offense because under Pennsylvania law, it requires all registered vehicles to carry a minimum liability insurance of $15,000 per person, $30,000 per accident, with $5,000 for property damage. Driving without that insurance, as I indicated, can result in suspension of license, jail time, fines. Now, if the person doesn't have insurance, you can pursue a claim under your own policy, and that would be what's referred to as UIM or UM coverage, which is uninsured or underinsured coverage. Now, the problem with this is that you have to have it on your policy. It is a protective benefit, and they do have certain safeguards that prior to waiving or signing down that coverage, they require to provide you notice, and they actually have to have that they provided that notice and your signature on it before they change those benefits. That's because they are so important. People that don't realize that's the benefit that protects them when somebody is underinsured or doesn't have coverage. Now, under PA law, whatever your bodily injury limits are, so if you have $15,000, $30,000, $100,000, $300,000, your underinsured, uninsured coverage typically equals your bodily injury limits, again, unless you waive it or sign it down. So that would be one instance in which you would be able to pursue a claim, albeit the driver doesn't have insurance. Now, if the driver did have assets, you could pursue a claim against the driver. However, that doesn't happen very likely, because if you have assets, you're most likely going to have insurance. And if you don't have insurance, you don't have assets. Even if you have a judgment, you're not going to collect anything. So then the only other potential claim, which I think in this instance is whether or not the lot owner can be held responsible. I mean, it's unlikely, but there are situations in which if you can establish negligence, such as whether a poor design, inadequate signage, hazardous conditions, poor lighting, that was the reason for the accident, then you can potentially have the owner of the lot responsible. But again, you would have to establish that they were somehow negligent in causing the accident, as opposed to this driver's negligence merely as opposed to the driver that was at fault merely being responsible. So again, in this instance, and of course, when this happens, you'd most want to definitely take pictures. Anytime an accident like this happens, or any type of whether it be slip and fall or any type of claim, one of the biggest things I think that people don't do is preserve the evidence properly. So, I mean, right now with the phones and cameras, I mean, and you get video, that's one of the most important things, because if you're going to establish that there was poor lighting or some reason this other individual hit you, if you don't preserve it at that point in time, you could lose that evidence forever. The other thing you might want to do is look for cameras. Now there's cameras almost everywhere. But the first thing is call, have a police report, have them come. Of course, since he doesn't have insurance, you want to have the police make that report, and then I would say after the report's filed, meet with an attorney, and then they can go over what the best way would be to move forward.
All right, Keith. Sounds great. Since we were pretty in-depth in the first two questions, we'll keep the third question for next week's segment of Do I Have a Case? If someone wants to reach out with you offline for a more personal question, how can they do that?
They can contact me directly at 570-954-9299. They can reach me by email at keith@figuredlaw.com, and they can send inquiries to my website at figuredlaw.com.
And again, if you would like a question featured on a future segment of Do I Have a Case, you can email me at rob.odonnell@odyssey.com, and we will get those questions to Keith in a future segment. Keith, thanks for joining us this Friday, and have a great weekend.
Thanks, Rob. I hope you and your listeners have a great weekend as well.
All right. Thank you.